I was just thinking I would tell you how long I'd been here. I can remember when the carpet was bright purple. Wow. I'm sure we got it as a special because it was so bright, nobody else wanted it. So since about 1987 or something, we've been here, so it's a long time. And I've done things in the past here. I've written plays, and I ran a music team for a big section as well. So had lots of history. And I've been involved in an international group, a New Zealand women's group for years, and I used to speak at their camps and do all sorts of stuff. So anyway, God has been talking to me this week, waking me up at night. Really interesting. So we're going to look at hearing from God. And we've got the first picture up there. I decided to give you pictures. It's not a lot of words, but I'm a picture person. And so I thought to help you concentrate, you can have some pictures as we go. So I only want to take 2 points today, because sometimes I feel we take too many. And so I only want to focus on two. And very simply, the first one is, what does it mean to hear from God? And the other one, how do we hear from God? Often the how is really important. Do you know when you buy something and you bring it home and you're going to put it together, maybe it's a table or a chair or something, and you rip the packet off and you go, right, let's do it. And about halfway through, maybe I should find out how to do it, as something doesn't quite fit. And so the how, I think, this morning is the most important today. The Oxford Dictionary says, to perceive with the ear the sound made by someone or something else. That's what it means to hear. Or to be told or informed, and you've heard the news. That's also another way to hear. The whole Bible is a love story from God. We're hearing from God. In the beginning, Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden, and the Old Testament is a story of rebellion, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sin entered the world. And then God begins his rescue mission. He calls his people back to himself, and their relationship ebbs and flows. Sometimes they're really good and they obey, and then, oh bother, they let the side down. But God's still there for them. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says this amazing passage. And they get this message when they're in Babylon, they're in captivity, and things are not going well. And this is what God says. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you've not known. The Bible is the most amazing book, and I'm sure you all know that. But it's good to be reminded. In John 5, 24 and 25, this is Jesus speaking. Sometimes his words, when you hear him, are so powerful and strong. And this says, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word, there's that word hears, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me, has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. These are powerful words. Believe in him and you have eternal life. And even that passage about the dead will hear, in my commentary it said that the dead, those who are even walking around on earth, that their spiritual life was dead, that when they discover Jesus, then that comes alive. And then in the commentary also commented that it could also be to do with the second coming, when people are raised, when he comes back, and they go from death to life. Metaphorically, God speaks to us as we read in an indirect way. We're hearing from him. We can listen to God through a sermon. I hope you're listening today, are you? and you can be aware sometimes that God is really just speaking to you Have you had a time when a sermon and someone says something that's really going in here and you go, whew, and then they say something else and you go, oh, and by the end you've decided, no, it's not for anyone but just you. And that is God really getting into your space. And that's exciting when that happens. So I want to share two people where God really stepped into their space. One was Moses, and you probably can guess what the episode was. It's in Exodus 3. Any guesses? No, all right. The burning bush. So he's out walking near the Mount of Horeb, and he sees this bush burning, not unusual. It's a desert, I'm sure. Things combust in the desert. But this bush didn't consume. This bush carried on burning when it should have been all ashes and on the sand. So he thought, I better go and have a look. So when he walked over and looked, whoops, oh dear, suddenly there was this voice out of the bush, Moses! Shucks! So got his attention. And then God said, take your sandals off, for you are on holy ground. Amazing. And then he said, I want you to go to Egypt, Moses. I want you to free my people. I want you to confront the Pharaoh. And so they had a deep discussion. We won't go on. It could be a whole sermon about that. But basically, he did a deal with God, and eventually he allowed Aaron go because Moses didn't talk well. But they went together, and of course God went with Moses. He could not have done it without God. But the people were freed. And then I thought of Saul in the New Testament in Acts 9. God really stepped into his space. Look out. Here he is on the way to Damascus to kill some more Christians, sort them out. And what happens? He gets this amazing light, beams down on him, blinds him on the spot, and there's a voice. And what did the voice say that time? Stop persecuting me. Who are you? Says Saul. He says, I'm Jesus. And from that day, that man was changed, and he even changed his name. He's not Saul anymore, he became Paul. And our New Testament, a whole chunk, is his letters, huge number of wonderful words written, and God used him so powerfully. But he had an encounter. They both had an amazing encounter. And now we're going to go to picture two. Landon, please. Thank you. I couldn't trust myself with the... I thought, you know, it could go anywhere. So this can be a mountaintop experience when you meet God, or it can be in the deepest valley. Either way, they are experiences to treasure. And I thought, because some of you can't imagine me only but as an old lady, I thought that I would tell you about my own conversion, because I had an encounter which really turned Jane around. My mother was a Christian. My dad, well, he went to church. He wasn't quite so strong. But only the three of us, we came out to New Zealand. We were a tight little group. Anyway, I went to church happily as a little girl. My mother was a very good storyteller. She told me how God made the flowers and they were beautiful and it was a miracle. And I went, yes, Mummy, I get that. Ooh. And even as a child, I would pray things and ask God. We were poor, so we had a car that never would go. And if it did, it was like, yay. And there was one time, the car, my father was trying to get the car to start. And you know how it goes, yeah, 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 yeah. And you just know it's never going to go. And my mother was not well, and we had to get to the doctor urgently. So I ran into the bedroom, got down on my knees, and I said, God, you have to make the car go. And then I got up and thought, I've done my bit. And next thing I heard, it fire into life. And my father said, I don't know why it's going, but get in. And I thought, I know why. I asked God to make it go. But when I went to high school, oh dear, something happened. I learned about evolution. Can you believe it? Back in the 60s, they were teaching about evolution, guys. And when I discovered that when a flower grew, it was photosynthesis that made it grow. So there was light, and there were tracks in the leaves, and there was carbon dioxide coming out and oxygen going in, and it was all so technical and wonderful. But it took away the miracle. Well, so I thought. And so I actually started to question everything that my mother had told me, and I looked at church and thought, it's pretty boring. And then I thought, actually, I don't think I believe in God anymore. I'm about to start life. Let's go. Oh, dear. And I think my mother was going, oh, dear. So there was a crusade that came to Hamilton, and it was the time of Billy Graham, but it was the Billy Graham crusade had passed, and so it was some other dude. And he wasn't quite as good as Billy Graham. Anyway, I went along and thought, dutifully, here I am. I'm sitting here, 2,000 people in the Hamilton theatre. And I sat there the whole night bored. Nothing touched me. Yeah, I said, when are we going home? I could have some supper soon. That would be really good. But God's got me because I love music. My mother taught me to play the piano, and I played songs when I was young, and I loved to sing. I haven't got a voice now, but once upon a time I did. So my favourite song came on at the end. I went, uh-oh. So we started singing Just As I Am. And then I heard a voice loud in my head, and it said, Jane. And I went, oh, now I'm really losing it. Now this is... So I carried on singing. I thought, no. And then I heard it again, a man's voice, quite clear. And so I turned and I looked at my father. Is he singing? Oh, he's singing. So then I looked back to the front. So then, even madder still, I turned around and looked at the men behind me. I thought, well, one of them's calling me. And so they're all, one guy looks at me and says, what are you staring at me for? So I turned back to the front and realised that they weren't calling me. And then it really happened. And so a whole sentence, and God said, Jane, I want you to go down the front and give your life to me tonight. Whoa, I was like riveted to the spot. No, this doesn't happen. And then my body just said, yep. And so my legs started to go. And my head's going, sit down. I had a battle. It was so strong. Sit down, Jane. But my body going, no. So it passed all the people. And it was quite a long walk down to the front of the theatre. And when I got there, this lady said, well, what's happening? Oh. And so then I just, yeah, you guessed it, Jane cried. But that night, I just knew that God was real. When I stood there, I could feel his presence. When I stood there, I knew something was different. He stepped into my space. And I'm sure there are others here in the room that can say of times when God said, it's now, come on. And so I had that. And for 6 weeks, I met with a lovely lady that I met that night, and she really helped me establish my relationship. And so God and I would talk. Brilliant. So I'd walk down the street where no one else is looking, mind you. And I would speak out loud, and he would answer to my mind. But I have to say that as time and busyness went by, that first love did drop back. But I've never lost the knowledge that I know God called me. And that's one of my first mountaintop experiences. And I want you to think about ones that you've had today and what God said to you in those times. The Christian faith is special. Our God wants us to reach to us, and he wants a relationship with us. Our faith is not living a good life or obeying the rules. It's about finding God, discovering him, and walking with him. How can we follow someone if we don't know them? And I sometimes when I feel guilty when things aren't gone right, I thought, I've got to get back to my conversations, because that's what my faith is. It's my relationship with him. And it takes time. It takes time to find God. It takes time to talk to him. I found a quote which said, when we pray, God listens. When you listen, God speaks. And when you believe, God works. I'm not sure about the third one. I think sometimes God works when our faith is weak. and his compassion is without measure. So I think sometimes, even if our faith is really, God still comes. Absolutely. There are different ways you can hear from God, like reading the Bible, and suddenly a scripture will stand out for you. And it'll suddenly seem fresh. It might be one you know really well, but then one day you read it and suddenly you see something new about it. He gives you a truth. You can be riding in your car, listening to the radio station. Now, not all of you listen to Star, do you? No. Life FM, yes. but you're listening to music, maybe, and God will speak to you through a song. How do you recognize God's voice? Sometimes when you're dealing with something big and you think God's telling you, hey, you need to do this or that, it's really good to go to your pastor or go to your home group or even a prayer partner and say, hey, I think God's telling me this. And it's really good to get confirmation sometimes, not to just rush off perhaps without checking with another. I'll give you an example. Charlie wanted to go into business. He was working at New Zealand Steel. And we both prayed about him giving up his job at the mill and going into business. I was terrified. I looked at the lovely wage that we got, the salary we got at New Zealand Steel. It was more, it was nice. And there was going to be a pension afterwards eventually. And suddenly we were going to just take redundancy and go. And I prayed, God said no. Anyway, when we went to the group, our home group, guess what happened? What do you think they said? Yes. I went, oh, you got sure? They prayed with us fervently. I got home and I thought, okay. And would you believe that the redundancy package was running out at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon? I sat all week going, God, I don't know that I can do this. I rang Charlie at 4 o'clock and said, I give in. You can go and tell him. And we went into business. But I had to accept and I had to admit to God that my decisions was being coloured by my fear. I was fear of what would happen financially and I didn't trust God. So sometimes we aren't always right. We think we're hearing and we need others to support and help us. Let's go to picture number 3. We're halfway, guys. Are you all right? Now, how to hear to God? There are 4 there. We're going to look at the first one now. Cut out the noise. Take time to listen. In our world, it's so busy now. We have all forms of technology filling it. Every waking moment, you've got the internet, Facebook, TikTok, and others as well. And you don't know what to do if you haven't got your cell phone in your pocket or in your hand or somewhere nearby. And there's two sides to technology. I love the Bible app. And I can immediately bring up a scripture and I can search for an image I've saved on my phone somewhere. Daily Bible readings apps, you get instant study wherever you are. You know, we were on a walk or we were with some friends somewhere and we're staying overnight, didn't take my Bible, onto my phone, Bible app, there it is. Fantastic. We just have to be careful that you do not take time out from technology, if that's possible, you really need to. I just laughed. I thought about my new watch. Son decided, mother and father both needed to upgrade. So now my watch tells me when I get up in the morning, get moving, you haven't done enough steps. And I've actually got a target every day I have to meet. And during the day it'll say, move. Or it tells me how much snoring I did the night before. Poor Charlie. Mind you, he snores too. The third one is come quietly, because sometimes I actually wonder what would happen if the power went off for days. It happened in Gisborne and other places. How are we going to cope? We can't charge the phone. We can't look at the phone. We can't look at technology. Great places to go. Find something else for a while. Easter camp's fantastic. I had amazing times at Easter camp, guys. Oh, yes. But just removing yourself sometimes from your routine, deciding to find God and have a chat. You could go for a run, if that's you. Maybe you do that. Maybe go for a walk. Maybe go for a hike. Maybe just go somewhere and sit under a tree. Number three, confess what's in your heart. Now, this one's a bit difficult for me to share, but I need to because I think I want you to understand how Jane's not perfect. But this church organised a women's retreat. When I was in about my 40s, somewhere there, and I had teenage kids, and the house was busy, everything was busy. And my days just were just one long run. And I knew that I was not spending enough hours with God. I knew I was not giving him what he needed. And I felt really bad. So I thought, right, retreat, that fixes it. So in the afternoon of this one day, the leader said, I want you to write a letter to God. Never done that before. So I had a paper and pen, and they said, find a place where you're on your own. This is a three-story building with like offices, and I'm thinking, where can you go? Anyway, I saw out the window a little ledge. Didn't think about the heights till I got out there, but I pulled the curtain to on the window, and then I stepped out on this little ledge. There was a rail, fortunately. There was no seat, but I could see, it was the North Shore, I could see the sea, and it was a sunny day and a lovely tree, and I thought, if I just sit on the concrete ledge, put my back against there, it was only about, 2 or 3 feet wide, it was not very wide, and I just put my knees up and I wrote my letter. And I just told God how sad I was, how frustrated, how ashamed that I loved him, but I didn't really show it. And when I'd finished, I said to God, am I talking to him thing? I said, what do I do now? And he immediately just said back, read it to me, Jane. Oh, okay. So I whispered it. But as I did, I just started crying. And by the time I'd finished, I was sobbing. And so I put my head in my hands, on my knees, and I shut my eyes. And then it happened. I saw this vision. I thought, what's this? And it was like I wasn't on the ledge anymore. I could see a big armchair. I could see some legs and feet, shoes. And then I thought, I'm sitting on the floor. I'm not a child anymore. It was like I was a little girl. And then I saw these arms, and these arms just came and picked me up and sat me on his knee. And I thought, I know this is God. I couldn't see his face. I didn't need to. And the arms just cuddled me in. And I thought, wow, I felt safe. I felt secure. I felt loved. A bell suddenly rang. Back inside the room, and I thought, I'm going to keep my eyes shut, because while my eyes are shut, I'm still here. So for a couple more minutes, I sat there. And of course, once I opened my eyes, there was in the North Shore, there was the tree, and I sort of quietly got up and went back inside. And I said nothing to anybody. I was rather blown away and took a while to think about it. But when I did, I realised that God didn't say anything about, you should, Jane, you should be reading your Bible. Well, you didn't? No, I know, and it's not good. He didn't do any of that. He just said, Jane, I love you. It was very powerful. And so sometimes, we're going to point four now. God speaks through the whispers of the heart. As I thought about the vision, I realized that he is such a gracious God. His grace and love overpowers all other things. If you hear condemnation, that is not from God. That's the other fella. God is not condemning. And even we fail all the time, don't we? I mean, if you ask my Charlie, you can tell me how I fail. He can tell you. But it doesn't matter. He still loves us. So let's go to picture four. All right. What's picture four? Ah, yes. When I found this one on the internet, I thought, that's really cool. I like that picture. Now, this is the other side of your faith. This is when things aren't going well. Sometimes I pray and God does not seem to be answering my prayers. God's a million miles away. I don't know where to turn. My faith feels low. And yet I know God is here for me. If I could just find him. I'm sure you all relate to that feeling too. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I think all of us go through times when that's how we feel. We don't know where to turn, and what do? We worry because we can't hear. We don't understand why God can't answer us sometimes. It's as if I felt God say to me, it's our circumstances block our ability to hear from God. So I've got another little story. This is Charlie and I now trying to build our dream home. We built our first little house with our bare hands, and somehow we sold it and somebody bought it, yay! And we decided to buy some land between Pukekohe and Waiuku, and we bought 1.5 acres of bush inside a larger bush. Oh, it was beautiful. And a flat paddock, a whole acre of land. Well, it all went fine till we went to the bank and said, we've got this plan, look, and we're going to want to build this house. And the bank said, oh, Charlie's self-employed. Well, what's wrong with that? Oh, everything. And then they looked at my meagre income that I get as a medical receptionist. I work 3 days a week. Yeah, that's not enough. And we had enough when we sold the house to build a shed. And the shed had a mezzanine floor, so it's quite a pretty little shed. Wasn't all that big, though. So all our furniture was in a container on the land. My little piano, was my precious piano that was my mother's, was on the concrete floor, surrounded by Charlie's electrical gear and ladders. And on the mezzanine floor was a mattress. And I don't like heights, and there were no stairs because we couldn't afford the stairs. So I told Charlie he had to find the largest ladder he had, and he strapped it to the woodwork, and then Jane would very carefully get up the stairs, and we slept on the mattress, and he put a piece of electrical wire across from one beam to another, and we hung our clothes on it. And that's where we were. And it was an unlined house, a shed, so when it rained, it was deafening. Right, okay. So it's a bit to get you down, isn't it? And I kept praying, God. Oh, and I forgot the loo. We have a shed outside. Oh, no, but it gets better. Mitre 10 offers us a shed, okay? And they offered to put it together for us. And Charlie said, no, we'll save the $50. We'll do it ourselves. Would you believe that shed never got a roof? So outside we had our own log drop, and we had a shed without a roof and an umbrella. Okay, all right, now back to the serious bit. I can't find where I am now, but I know you know. One dear friend, one night, during a thunderstorm, rang us when we were in the shed. And the normal routine, because I was working with her because she'd had a divorce, that I would pray with her. But when she rang that night, God prompted me. He said, no, she's going to pray for you. And so I had to admit, I said to her, we're really down and this is why. And she said, oh, Jane, I'll pray. So she prayed for us. And the next morning we got up, and we thought, let's try another bank. That one won't do it. There's another one down the street. And long story short, we went to that bank. And they actually sent someone out to look at the land and decided that that house you're going to build, two-storied house, would be great. But I loved the bank manager. He said, now, if you just don't pay the mortgage, you know, we'll just sell it from under you, okay? So he said, we'll do it. We had very meagre meals for a while, but no, I inherited my father's house a few years later and everything was fine, and we built our dream house. Praise God. All right, picture five. Let me remind me what picture five is. Ha ha ha, right, okay. Now we're getting to the good bit. I had another dream while I was preparing for this. And when I woke up in the morning, I thought I'd just better go and write something down. It's a story in three parts, and I just want you to go with me, okay? In a year 1020 BC, a young shepherd is sitting on a hillside with his sheep, gathered around him, resting in the hot sun. And he's trying, they're all trying to hide under a very meagre tree. It's not a very big tree. And David's just sitting there thinking about his life as a shepherd. He thinks about all the things he needs to do to take care of his sheep. And I think it's ironic this morning, Aaron, as you spoke, I wrote this down for preparation. David thought about the wolf and the bear that he would, and I'd forgotten about the lion, but that he would have to defend his sheep with. He thought about that, the job and the role that he has. But then suddenly the thought came to him, what if my God was a shepherd? Because David loved his God. What would he do with his sheep? How would he care for them? And as he thought about that, because David loved to sing, and he had, I think, a very basic little harp he would carry about with him, and he wrote lots of psalms, he thought, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He probably thought about how he had to find the sheep something to eat. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And he found a melody on his harp, and the words rang out over the valley, and his heart leapt. He knew that God was guiding his thoughts as he was composing a new song. Perhaps the most famous psalm that was ever written. Now we go forward to another step. In 1943, in Beirut, in the Middle East, in the centre of the Second World War, a section of the Royal Navy is there, and there's a young woman as a wren, and that's sort of ladies' division of the Navy, was deciding she wanted to go out of the city. She got bored with all the traffic and noise and dust. And let me tell you, her sense of direction was very poor, so I think God was going with her. Anyway, she went out into the desert and it got really hot and she needed shelter. And fortunately, she saw a small village. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, her name is Patricia and she is my mother. So she sat by the well and drank some water. And then she saw a large flock of sheep. And beside the sheep, sort of to one side, were a whole group of men laughing and joking and just having a good time and drinking some water and eating something. And they were obviously telling each other jokes and everything was all fun. And then all of a sudden, one of them just got up and proceeded to walk down the road, out of the village. He didn't go over and look at the sheep or anything, but he started calling. And he had quite a unique call. And so she said he didn't look, he just looked down the road and went. And then one by one, the little sheep went, oh, maybe that's me, oh. And gradually, one by one, out of that flock, the sheep just went. And she said in the end, she could see this great big long line following this shepherd out of sight. Wow. He didn't need any dogs, no four-wheel drive, no tractor, nothing. And that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. You see the picture there? That's a modern shepherd wearing Nike sneakers. Can you see them? Uh-huh. Have they changed in 2,000 years? No. That's a modern shepherd. Yeah, because I was looking at it for a while and I thought, he hasn't got sandals on, he's got sneakers on. What excites me about this is that I can see Jesus as a young boy in the temple hearing Psalm 23 read out loud. And he may have been encouraged to even learn the passage by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. I love the fact that Jesus is using the shepherd analogy, just like David. Jesus is telling us, listen to my voice. When we're following the shepherd, he promises to supply all our needs, to encourage us to rest, to find peace, to restore our soul. And I've just missed a passage out that I want to read you. And it is from John 10. And actually, I'd love you guys later if you want to have a look at all of John 10, because it even touches onto the Easter theme. And this is Jesus' words. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that amazing? All right, now we'll go forward. And actually, if you look at verse 15, I'll just touch on the second part of 15, it says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There it is. And I decided just one more verse to show you the compassion that God has for you. So let's go to picture number 6, please. And this is Jesus speaking. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here again, Jesus is encouraging us to come to him, to trust him as our shepherd, and he'll give us rest. What is interesting, he promises that if we allow him, that he will lead and make our burden light. If we take his yoke, it won't be a heavy one. Actually, that's another sermon. I won't go any further on that. I've just thought of a whole lot more. No. Okay, today I just had a sense when I prayed that maybe some of you are feeling burdened. God loves you, God forgives you, God is there for you. But our relationship with him is paramount. And if you're feeling heavy today, or you're just feeling God's a long way off, I just want to encourage you, he's right there, right here. And I've got a poem that I'd like to finish with. The words I got when I was asleep was, I am here with you. So I woke up again, said, what's I'm here with you, God? And this is what I got. Father, as I wait to hear what you would say to me, gently come the words so clear, I am here for you. When I step out of my comfort zone, I hear you say to me, I've got your back, it's okay. I am here for you. When feeling lost and all alone and not sure where to turn, yet still you softly say to me, I am here for you. When sickness overwhelms my soul, when strength is all but gone, you whisper gently in my ear, I'm still here for you. When grief just washes over me, despair has come to stay. You lift and carry me and say, I'm always here for you. When on the mountain in awe I look, the beauty of your hand, now finally I understand, you are here with me. There is no place that I can hide, nor would I want to run, because the safest place to be is only here with you. Now, just as I finish, what I'd like to do, I'd like to pray. But can I ask you just to sit in silence with me just for a minute? I don't want anyone to speak, but I just want God's Holy Spirit to just rest on us. And then I'll pray to conclude. Thank you, church. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you today for your presence here with us now. Thank you, God, that you are always here if we will just listen for you and seek you. Father, as we stand before you today, God, let us just, we want to honor you and thank you. I want to say, God, how wonderful it is to know that there is nothing that I can't bring to you. And that you're always ready for me, to hear me, to love me, to forgive me. God, we thank you for your grace today, that you forgive us. And Lord, I thank you that you equip us and that you give us the strength to go on. Your relationship is worth so much. We give you all honor and glory and praise today. Amen.